The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Good Sunday afternoon, everybody, and we welcome you to another edition of the Larry Hardesty Show here on 98.7 ESPN. 1-800-919-3776. Also via X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY. 98_7FM. Tom and Chantel along for the ride until 3. Then Ty Butler will take you up until, well, we start talking about Knicks Milwaukee here on 98.7 ESPN. Well, here's what we hope to do today. Here's what Tom, Chantel, and I hope to do today. We hope to give you a chance to take a breather. We hope to give you a chance to just exhale and take a moment. Because we've had a lot of stuff going on. We've got eclipses. We've got earthquakes. We've got players getting kicked in the head. We've got baseball craziness. We've got panic with the Knicks. We've got how are the Islanders back in the playoff race? We've got a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of stuff. So my goal today is just to have you take a moment. Just take a moment and just go.
R-E-L-A-X.
Exactly.
Relax.
Yeah. That's it, Aaron. One of the few things that I think we can agree with Aaron Rodgers on right now, right? Because he's always got something to say. I wonder if he was... Never mind. So let's start out. Of course, Monica McNutt, we do have company. Monica McNutt will join us at 2 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the Knicks. We'll get her thoughts on the NCAA Women's Championship that happens this afternoon. We'll get her thoughts on a couple of controversial calls for me. One against UConn the other night when I saw players. Because here's the thing, and I'll just touch on this real quick. Here's the thing. Usually, and I've had a gazillion conversations with referees, namely the one that I've talked to the most, who I've had the most discussion and disagreement with, is Dick Bavetta, who ref for, I guess, you know, after Moses left, he's been around since then. And every argument and every disagreement and discussion we've had, Nick Bavetta has always told me, it's about whether the player gets an advantage by what they do. Okay, does the player get an advantage? Because the biggest thing our discussion was always about is, okay, offensive is offensive foul. Is when the player goes up and comes down and he's fouled, where can he go? He's in the air. Okay, so how does he move? So those were the genesis of the discussions that we had. And so I'm watching this game, and all during the game, I'm watching offensive players move their hand out, right? Either the offhand, left hand or right hand, depending on whether it's the strong hand of the player, to get an advantage by pushing off the defender to go where they got to go. And nothing's called. And I'm like, okay, well, at least they're consistent. Then late in the game, when I see this offensive foul, I'm like, excuse me? You call that now? In a game where they called, what, maybe 16 fouls, 17 fouls? And Iowa State got most of them? And once again, I have no horse in the race. Okay, I have no dog in the fight. I'm just watching good basketball because there's two really good teams. You got Caitlin Clark, you got Paige Beckers. This is really good basketball. Okay, and so I'm watching. I'm intrigued. They're going up and down. You know, the UConn did a great job in the first half. They limit Caitlin Clark. They force her. They got her working hard for her shots. Didn't hit a three in the first half for forever. And so all of a sudden it comes down to that. And then of course it begs the discussion, right, of, okay, do you swallow the whistle late or do you let them play? And so, you know, just a couple of things. So it's been a lot going on, right? It's been a lot going on. Then we get the Josh Hart situation where, listen, his foot is on the player's neck. So clearly, that's a flagrant. By the rule, anything above the neck is not, you know, it's a flagrant. It wasn't intentional, but it was a flagrant. But for me, for you to say he kicked him in the head, and so that's a flagrant two, that's intent to me. Flagrant two is intent. When you swing the arm on somebody's head, that's intent. Okay, so But to be honest, the Knicks did not lose that game there. They lost that game because they continue, and Alan Hahn put it on X, and he's 1,000% right. They continue to fall behind early in games, and an undermanned team who's playing a bunch of minutes are fighting back to try to get wins. It's not a good combination for you to get wins late. It's just not. So they have to get off to better start. So while we may agree to disagree with the situation with Josh Hart, and oh, by the way, had he been in the game, yes, you probably would have won that game only because of his energy and what he does on the boards, and this is one of the few games you were out-rebounded. They lost that game because they lost that game because they went into that game, and I get it. It's a back-to-back after Sacramento. And on Thursday night, Gordon Damer and I on ESPN New York Tonight mentioned it about, okay, they play a lot of minutes, a lot of tough minutes against a very good Sacramento team. Now you got to go into Chicago. You got to put them out early. And they didn't. And Drummond, even though he can't move, he's not really good in transition because he's big and he's slow. He's a beast on the boards. And so you knew you had to really, really, really fight to keep him off the boards. They didn't do it, so they lose, and now they got a huge game tonight against Milwaukee. But here's where we're going to start. This is probably for me, who believes in a perfect world, and I know baseball fans and purists are going to light me up, and I get it, and you can call me and criticize me, 1-800-919-3776. For a sport that really, really, for me, would be great if they started Memorial Day weekend and just went through until the end of the season, because the season is very long. It's very long. It's second only to Harvey Cruz's MLS that started a couple of weeks ago and will end probably around Halloween. Okay. It's a really long season. So for me to overreact after the first week is nuts. Okay. But we all do it, right? We all tend to overreact after the first week because we want our teams to get off to a great start. And for me as a Met fan, Tom and Chantel, this is a weird year for me because they're kind of telling me as a Met fan that this is, we'll probably maybe get a wild card spot, but we're taking a step back. So I'm trying to figure out like, okay, what are we doing then? How are we looking at this season? And then they pivot. Okay. Cause it was about what we want to look at the kids. We want to see what we have. We want to do this and that. So we're happy with the DH spot. So we're good. So, we're going to be Vientos and Beatty. And we're going to look at the kids. We're going to see what's happening. Okay, great. All right. So that sounds like an evaluation year, which translates to me, well, if we get to the postseason, that would be great. But as long as we answer some questions, because for us in the research that we've done, okay, the better free agents are after this season. Okay, so the better free agents will be available to us 2025, led by a man who got off to a great start for the Yankees, Juan Soto. So that's what we're looking. So we want to see who's available. We want to see what we have in our system that we know, okay, if we have to make a move, we have to do some things, trade deadline, something like that, here's what we're going to do. Okay, I get it. Then at the 11th hour, they signed J.D. Martinez, who, as if you've been listening to the station, I've been begging for probably, Tom, maybe 2.5 years, even when he was on another team. Boy, sure wish I had J.D. Martinez. All right, and he will be up with the club shortly, and hopefully he will be as good as he's been elsewhere. Although, being a longtime Met fan, you guys know sometimes the guys who are great elsewhere, when they come here, not so much. But I'm hoping that this will be different. I'm hoping that just him being in the lineup to give some cover for Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor, who's going through some tough stuff. I mean, folks, I get that you're angry with him. Leave his wife alone. Leave family alone. They're not the ones that are not hitting on the field. He is. You know, if you boo him, okay, I get it. But leave his family alone. You know, this is ridiculous. So hopefully J.D. Martinez would be able to get some life into this offense, which has been up and down. All right. I mean, they've been better in Cincinnati. They were horrible before. They were horrible at home. They've shown some life in Cincinnati. So I'm still trying to figure out what are we doing with this season. So for me to start out, Chantel, looking at this season and finding that I was winless while the Pirates were 5-0, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who never win. I was finding myself from having a bit of an overreaction. Okay, so now here we are. And once again, it is a long season. Long, long. But I'm curious as to your reaction to either the Mets or Yankees, whichever team you are a fan of, whichever team you're a fan of. I want to get your reaction after 1 week. Not saying it's going to stay this way. Not saying, oh, we're done. Not saying we're going to win the World Series. Just, I don't want an overreaction. I just want an honest reaction as you go into today's game. All right? Yankees with Toronto, Mets in Cincinnati. How you feel about your team after 1 week? This is just a 1 week evaluation. Again, it doesn't mean that this is the way you feel for the rest of the season. Highlights and lowlights. That's what I want to find out from you. 1-800-919-3776. Also via X, formerly Twitter, at HardestyESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM. We'll come back and have our discussion next on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Let me just say this before I get to the phones. There are times when you, things happen that cause you to like reflect on how life things are and how it affects you, okay? Clearly the earthquake this week was something that did that for me. It took me back to 2011 when I was on the Jets beat, you know, embedded with them, and we're in Florham Park. And we're, you know, covering the team, waiting for press conferences and stuff of that nature. And they had an earthquake, and we're in the you know, media area, and the building is shaking, and the lights flash. They blinked, and you're like, okay, that's not a helicopter flying over, because you know at Florham Park you. Helicopters fly over, fans hire planes to make that banners about what they think about the Jets. So this stuff that flies over Florham Park and all the time. And plus they're not far from an airport. And so so I had the opportunity to reflect on that. That's number one. Number two, with the eclipse coming, you're seeing people getting the glasses. I was in a couple of stores yesterday, people buying the glasses to make sure they can see and not hurt their eyes and stuff like that, you know. But probably for me, and I'm not comparing them, but I'm just talking in bulk. Probably for me, folks, was a moment that I had to reevaluate Larry. And the moment came yesterday. Now, it's springtime, despite the fact that it was probably in the low 30s today when you woke up, as it was where I am. But you know it's April, and you know the spring is coming, and everybody starts now. You know, you go by Home Depot or Lowe's or other places, and everybody's, you know, got their getting the flowers out. You know, it's time to do the lawn. You know, the folks who have sell fertilizer and seed and everything, this is their Christmas. Okay, because everybody's doing mulching and everybody's just trying to beautify their lawn because it's change of season. And we're celebrating and we're getting ready to be outside and it's going to be fun. And, you know, we're getting our places ready after a weird winter. And we're doing all this other stuff. And part of the beautification process, okay, is putting like marble chips. Okay, and I'm sure you've seen them. They're little rocks, and you know you put them in your bedding area, or your flowers, or your flower bed, or you try to adorn certain areas of them. And so I was doing that yesterday. And while I was doing that yesterday, I'm thinking that I have just paid X amount of dollars for a bag of rocks that I'm now going to put down on the ground. You imagine that? X amount of dollars for a bag of rocks. Rocks. And whatever, it doesn't matter, you know, some of that marble chips, some have, you know, what you put in the ponds. There's all different kind of rocks and stuff. And I'm saying, can you imagine the first person that said, I'm going to take these rocks and I'm going to put them in a bag, Chantel and Tom, and I'm going to sell them to people so they can take these rocks that I have, that I'm cleaning off my property, and I'm going to put them in the bag and I'm going to sell them to people so they can put on their property. And I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, how come I didn't think of this? How come I didn't think of years ago moving stuff off my property and putting them in a bag and selling them? And the next question is, where are they getting all these rocks from? And how year after year after year, bag after bag after bag, people just come and just do these rocks. It was just like, which shows you how bored I was putting them down yesterday, right? Because all this stuff is just going through my mind. I'm just like, out of all the things this week, that's the thing that's probably the lasting impression for me, because it was the last thing that I did. But I was just like, what are we doing here? Like, what? I bought a bag of rocks. And I'm not even going to tell you how much I paid for them. I'm not. I can't do it. You guys know. For those of you who are, you know, getting your lawns and stuff ready, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking to you. 1-800-919-3776. Let's get your thoughts on what's going on. Baseball-wise, give me your thoughts. First week, Yankee fans. First week, your impressions. For me, for you, it was, man, Soto looks good. If I treetopped them, it would be this. Wow, Soto looks good. Rodon was not bad. Stroman could be a lifesaver. Can't you get out of the injury situation? LeMahieu starts on the IL. Cole's on the IL. Now Loaisiga is on the IL and done for the season. And last, can Stanton continue? Those are the top things that jumped out at me for the first week for the Yankees. For the Mets, my first week was like this. God, can we hit? Bad teams don't play well in all phases at the same time, right? They hit, but they don't pitch. They pitch, but they don't field. They field, but they don't hit. Okay, and so that's what's taken out a couple of things for me. Hopefully Lindor will get going, because there's a lot of pressure on him. I expect Pete Alonso to have a hopefully close to Aaron Judge type walk year to make the Mets really have to decide whether they're going to really sign him or not. And the last thing was, and I'll name him, but he's not the only one. Very encouraged with Severino, but I need more length, because the bullpen is already in trouble. Because nobody's given length. So the bullpen is already in trouble. Those are my opening thought processes of both the Mets and the Yankees after the first week. What do you say? 1-800-919-3776. Also on X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM. I'll take your calls next on 98.7 ESPN. Carlos Mendoza on the Reds double steal that opened the doors for the Mets to lose a game they were winning yesterday in Cincinnati. It's the Larry Hardesty Show here on 98.7 ESPN. And as I mentioned, get to the calls in a second, I promise. As I mentioned, That's what happens. Now, look, double steals can happen, you know, but when you look at it, if you watch the game, Navarez didn't know what was going on. He didn't know. You don't double steal. I'd rather you hold the ball. Why are you throwing the second? Don't. So he wasn't aware of what was going on. He just wasn't in the moment. Okay. It's a natural reaction thing. But you got to be aware. It's early in the season. And the frustrating thing about that is, right, That's what spring training is for, right? You go through all these situations. You work through all these situations. You know what's going to happen. They put you in spots. Okay, this is going to happen. When this happens, this is what you do. And you work on it. Pitchers, they hit bunts. The pitchers cover the bunt. This is what you throw in this situation. This is what you do. That's what spring training is for. And for you to have come out of spring training a couple of weeks ago, okay? I mean, it's the first week of the season. A couple of weeks ago? I mean, come on. This is not what you want. So, once again, and yesterday, for me, Severino looked great. The fastball was there. The movement was there. It was, if you're a Yankee fan, this is the Severino you've seen. Unfortunately, if you're a Yankee fan, you say, yeah, Larry, this is the Severino I've seen. Great movement. But 100 pitches or close to it in five innings, and then you got to go to the pen because, you know, he didn't have the make or miss stuff, the miss bat stuff until later in his outing. So now you got guys fouling stuff off. And the pitch count just continues to go up and go up and go up. And then now you're looking at a bullpen that's, you know, you're using a lot. And oh, by the way, because Diaz had pitched back-to-back games, he wasn't even available. So now you got a short bullpen. All right, and Mendoza said he had like five guys available out of 10. So that's, you know, that's a tough situation. You can't, it's early, and you understand that this happens a lot because as pitchers get length, you try to lengthen them out with their in spring training. You try to get them going. You try to lengthen them. But unfortunately, when you get in games, the control is not always there. So now you got to have a parade to the bullpen. And while we talk about the Yankee injuries, the Mets got a ton of injuries pitching-wise as well. You know, Miguel is out. Peterson's out. Senga's out. And there's a bunch of other guys, you know, bullpen relievers who are out as well. So it's tough. The encouraging thing is that they're starting to hit a little bit, some of them. And I know Lindor's going to hit. I know Nimmo's going to hit. He's not going to be under 100 for, you know, the season. But it would just be nice. You really want, when you have a tricky season like this, you want to get off to the quick start. And unfortunately, they did not. 1-800-919-3776. Eddie's in L.A. Eddie, you're first on the Larry Hardesty Show.
Hey, Larry, what's up?
What's up, Eddie?
What's going on? Okay, so what I wanted to say was... this game, man, I think this game today against the Bucks, I think if we win it, we'll be one game behind Milwaukee. And I think that'll set us up for the three. But if we lose it, I think we're going to end up in the fifth slot. And if they can win this game, I think this is going to galvanize them with a little bit more confidence, momentum, but most importantly with them playing together and without Randall. What do you think?
Eddie, thanks for the phone call. This is, well, here's the thing. I mean, let's face it. Randall hasn't been on this team since January. So they're comfortable playing without Julius Randall now. He hasn't been there. They have found a way to play without him. And, you know, it's different. You miss his production. You miss what he brings. You miss the intangibles as far as his physicality is concerned. Yeah, there's some things that go along with Julius Randle. I'm not saying he's a perfect player. I've been with you on some of the criticisms that he's had. But to be fair, this season, with the rise of Jalen Brunson, he seemed to accept the fact that this is he's there to help Brunson as opposed to Brunson being there to help him. All right, so that you liked, and that's what you saw in January, that everything was clicking, and this team looked like a team that could go deep, deep into the postseason and maybe make some noise in the Eastern Conference Championship game. But now without him, my concern is your size and consistent scoring. And so we'll find out. Now, against this Milwaukee team that has struggled themselves, I mean, they've lost six of their last 10 and three in a row. They're struggling, too. They're struggling to find themselves. And so, you know, and Giannis has been in and out of the lineup. I don't know if Giannis is going to play tonight or not. But for the Knicks, this is a game they got. They need this game. They need this game. They've got Boston coming up, but they have Chicago again on a couple of occasions. And they have done such a great job. Part of the reason they are so good, part of the reason they're 13 games over 500, has been the fact that they have done well against teams who they're supposed to beat. Now in the past week, past 10 days, they've lost to a San Antonio team they should have beaten. They gave up 71 points in the first half in that one. So they just weren't ready to play. Okay, they lose that game in overtime. And then, yes, I know with Josh Hart and everything, they lose the Chicago Bulls game. You're not supposed to lose to the Chicago Bulls. I mean, this is you can't go in there thinking, well, we got it with the Bulls. The Bulls are the ninth spot. Okay, they're trying to see if they can move up and challenge Philadelphia for eight. Now, they're not in enough games, so I don't think they will. But they're trying to make sure they don't fall out of the plan. So they're going to be ready to go for every game that you face them. So, you know, the thing here is you have to be ready to go when you play these teams that you're better than. And they have not done it in the past couple of games. Spike's in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
Good to talk to my friend. Let me make a baseball comment first. I believe, and I've always professed this, I'm 90% hoops, but I do watch the Yankees and the Mets because friends of mine are big fans, like you. And I think the transition from playing in Port St. Lucie or playing in St. Pete or Tampa, wherever the Yankees play, they play right down the road, the weather change causes some guys to be sluggish at the start of the season. It's unquestionable today. Remember, the first time I ever saw a second baseman or a shortstop, he had a ski mask on. You know, you don't see his eyes and his nose and his mouth. And that happens later in the season. And God knows, Kay always says this, if there's ever a World Series in Minnesota, what it'll give. But they're not going to hit because you and my best friend are diehard Mets fans. I feel for you when I see 0-34, but that'll come around. And I don't think the owner is investing the money this year because he has to deal with a lot of issues. But let me quickly get to the hoops. By the way, I grew up, there was a quarry near me. And that's where some of that stuff comes from. I said the same exact thing to Susan. Well, especially when you buy mulch. But it's not a fortune. I know those marbles and the stones, and you get a whole bag of it. We just redid the whole back and had to pay about $100 for about 40 big cinder blocks. So we have a cinder block path, and what are you buying? You're buying cement that's shaped. Yeah. It's a little crazy. But we're always behind the line. I do that with my health too. I find out some procedure I had I never should have had, but they didn't know at the time. So what are you going to do? You can't sulk about it. You're going to say, it's progress, moving on. Yep. Josh Hart should not have been ejected from the game. That was Scott Foster. As far as the Knicks go, I'm going to get it out now because yesterday was a little complicated for me. Look, I'm not a Julius Randle fan, but I always say I respect his toughness and his size. If not for the toughness and size, because he's not a good outside shooter. We know that. He had an anomaly of a year. He brings you the toughness and the size. However, I think Achiuwa is a better rebounder and a better defender. I think it unlocked Deuce McBride, who's probably, I'm guessing, in the last 10 games, averaged 17, 18 points, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's played well. You get better defense. The San Antonio game is the one that bothered me. The Bulls game was third game in four nights with travel. Now, these are pro athletes. They're not going and waiting online and taking their shoes off. You know?
Right, exactly.
I got it. But the heart and soul, which you sent me back a reply to that yesterday, they missed 19 rebounds. They got out-rebounded. I will wait for you anything you want. I'll pick up every stone you put down and count them one by one that the Knicks have not been out-rebounded by 19 until yesterday, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So, look, all in all, it's going to be fun. I'm going to stick with what I said all year long. A second round, six or seven games, and I'm good. Okay. I'm good.
Right.
I don't think taking Julius Randle out advances you into the next round, pro or con, because he will not be with the Knicks when they get to the finals. That's just what I've always thought. And I'm not knocking the guy, and I'm not casting aspersions. He plays his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
But he's flawed, and Brunson has made him with OG. And I love the OG guys that say, well, he's injured, but he missed the championship year. He had an emergency appendectomy.
Yeah.
And that, you remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So, listen, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping it's a close game against Milwaukee, but we'll have a good time the next month, Larry. Thanks for getting me on.
All right, Spike, thanks for the phone call. And it's hard to do, right? Because we always preach, okay, let's enjoy the ride. Okay, let's enjoy it. Let's see where it goes. Let's have fun. Let's see what happens with the ride. Let's see where we go. But that January kind of turned things around for Knicks fans, didn't it? I mean, you guys know. I mean, they looked great. They looked phenomenal. They looked like they were going to be a team that could, you know, go deep. Now, nobody thought they were better than Boston, even when they were hot. But you were starting to think, listen, maybe we can get the 2 seed. And while a win today would put them a game out of the 2 seed, it's not the same. You don't have the same feeling about this team. You can't. Because you're not looking at people coming back. Now, you know you don't have Julius Randle. You're hoping that OG Anunoby's back and will be playing soon, even in the past, maybe 2 or 3 games. And I get what the Knicks are doing. They're like, listen, we want to make sure that we have him long-term. We'll sacrifice a couple of games late. We'll see what we can do. You know, Tibbs, his idea is we can win every game. We can go in there. We got enough to win. We got enough to compete. We keep it close. We make some plays down the stretch, and we win. When we play well, we play the way we're supposed to play. You know the phrase. We play Knicks basketball, we're supposed to win. And so that's his mindset. And so if they can do that and you keep Anunoby until maybe a game before the postseason or the postseason starts, then you're happy. Then you know you have him. But make no mistake, they have to find a way to get more scoring from other people than Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo. If they're going to have a run, and once, listen, OG can score, but his forte is defense. And he will help make the defense better. That's part of the reason why they're, 15-2 when he plays. It's not only the offense, it's the defense. It's what he's able to do that takes pressure off of other guys on the team. So, yeah, that will make a difference, no question about it. But the question is going to be, where are you getting the scoring from? And there's an interesting article about that, about two guys that were obtained at the trade deadline. And now you're wondering, what role will they have in the postseason rotation? We'll discuss next on The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
There was a lot of positive reaction to the deadline deal when the Knicks brought in Bogdanovich and Burks, the B&B combination from Detroit. Now, I will admit to you that I was higher on Bogdanovich than I was on Burks. And the reason why I wasn't as high on Burks is because I saw what he was when he was here before. And he was part of, you know, the original Tibbs crew, the first year that got to the postseason, the second year that struggled. And the issue I had with Alec Burks is not, it's his inconsistent shooting for me. It was, now from a defensive standpoint, for length, and you want to put him in over, because somebody's shooting over Jalen Brunson or they're shooting over, Deuce McBride, and you want to give them a different angle and you bring in, Alec Burks from a defensive standpoint, I get it. Can he hit the three occasionally? Yes. But the whole idea was, when they made the move, was you needed to bring in a person who was going to back up Jalen Brunson and run the offense while he was on the bench. Now, as it turns out, what happens has been that Deuce McBride has stepped up. He has taken this as to say, oh, no. Nobody's coming in here and taking my minutes. I'm going to show you what I've learned. I'm going to show you what I can do. And he has been outstanding over the past couple weeks. Okay? Since the trade deadline, he's been a different person. The three has gone in. He's more confident. he's able to run the offense a little bit better. You see him not go from side to side so much as going. I mean, he still goes side to side a little bit too much, but you're seeing him at least attacking the basket a little bit more than he's done previously. All right. So that's a positive. The defense has always been consistent. I mean, that's what got him playing time, even if it was 2 minutes at the end of a quarter. That's what got him on the floor, was his defense. So the fact that he's giving you some offense, that's been excellent. But the question remains now, listen, we're a couple of games away from the postseason. And there's a great article in the New York Post about how does Burks and Bogdanovic fall into this rotation, okay? I mean, let's think about this. OG's back. He got a couple of minutes against Chicago. Okay, OG's back, right? So, and listen, I don't know if he's going to play tonight. They might rest him. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, right? They might, you know, sprinkle him in just a couple of minutes. Let's see what he has. We don't want to mess up the elbow because we need him in the postseason. So what does that rotation look like? Okay, you figure Hart would now move to the bench because OG is starting. So Hart would be the first forward off the bench. You figure McBride's going to be the first guard off the bench. That's seven already. We still have Precious Achiuwa. We still have Mitchell Robinson. Okay? You still have Bogdanovic, and you still have Burks. So that's 10. So who's not going to be in this rotation? Who's going to be sitting on the bench? Has Bogdanovic, now he's played better the past couple of games, has he proven to you that he is a guy that you can bring in off the bench to give you some scoring? Is he a guy, as we get to this postseason, and I know it's hard to figure out, it's hard to look at, it's a question, but has he shown enough to you that he will give you enough offense that his defense is not going to kill you while he's in the game? That's the question. And it's postseason. And it's a different level. It's a different intensity. And you've already seen it. You saw it with Sacramento. You saw it with Miami. Teams are going to take the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands. They're going to try to make it where he doesn't get into the painted area. They're going to double team. They're going to force him to give up the ball. So who's going to take up the slack for this Knick team when he's not in there? Who's that person? Who's going to be the person to do that? Who's going to be, when he's out, who's going to be the person that comes in off the bench and puts points on the board? Because ultimately, that's always been the big question about this Knick team, right? Where's your scoring coming from? It was the same thing when you had Brunson and Randle. Okay, we know we got Brunson, we know we got Randle. All right, but now, who's the other person? Well, Vincenzo stepped up. So you started to see him. When he moved into the starting rotation, then you started to see him get better and hit the three, and that loosened some things up. And defensively, he's pretty good. So that's an issue for you. The other question is, when you come off the bench, Precious Achiuwa defensively is very good. Block shots, is a good rebounder. But over the past couple of games, has not been the same guy. Is he fatigued? What's going on? Hartenstein, you're in the situation right now, and it's clear. Late in games, Hartenstein's got to be on the floor. You can't afford to have Mitchell Robinson on the floor right now because he can't hit free throws. So he can't be on the floor in late in games. So that means you have to manage your front, so your center position, so that Hartenstein gets minutes early. Okay, Mitch, give you some minutes. You can sprinkle the chew in there if you want to, and then you go to the rotation. But at some point in time, when it's late in the fourth quarter, 5 minutes to go, Hartenstein's got to be on the floor because of his ability to handle the basketball, to catch it, to how he can pass out of the post and still give you rebounds and block shots. And it poses, as we look ahead, and we're not trying to look ahead right now, but it poses an interesting scenario for this Knick team about free agents, because Hartenstein's a free agent. Achiuwa's a free agent. Anobi's a free agent. All right? You got some guys here that you have to make some decisions on. You know, and so, You know, but once again, that's further down the line. As we're looking for a playoff rotation, for me and for you, give me your seven or eight right now that you think are locked in, assuming that OG is starting. So let's put that in the assumption. Assuming that OG is starting, which means that Josh Hart is coming off the bench. Who are your seven guys, seven, eight guys, that you feel confident in that you can win with? And keep everything in mind. Keep not just scoring, but keep size in mind. Keep rebounding. Keep all that stuff. Keep scoring is important. And for me, Deuce McBride is going to be fascinating. And I'll say this for this reason. I understand what he's done, and it's been amazing. It's been great. What he's been able to do offensively, what he's been able to do handling the basketball, what he's been able to do running the offense. And he's got a lot of confidence. And you give him credit. All the hard work that he's done has paid off for him. But is he going to be able to do that in the postseason? Is he going to be able to give you the same intensity coming off the bench, okay, that he's giving you now? Are you going to start a lineup with Brunson and DiVincenzo and Hart and OG and Hartenstein? Is that going to be your starting rotation? And if that is your starting rotation, what does that do to your bench? Do you bring, who is your first forward off the bench in that scenario? Is it Achiuwa or is it Bogdanovich? Who is, obviously Mitch would be your first center off the bench. But what do you do at the guard spot? How many men does Alec Burks belong in your rotation, in your playoff rotation coming off the bench? Can you afford him to be there? Has he earned enough to say, yeah, okay, let's give him a shot? Or is it going to be event-oriented? Is it, okay, I need to, this is a big team, I need size, I'll bring him in? Or do you want to go small? Tibbs has gone small a lot, where he's brought in the Achiuwa and sat both Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein. It's an interesting question. I want to hear what you have to say next. I'm making you, because everybody complains about Tibbs, you're the head coach. Who are you playing? 1-800-919-3776. We'll discuss it next on 98.7 ESPN.